Thank you for tuning in to this session of Kashrus Tidbits on Enzymes and Biotechnology. In the past 40 years or so, there's been a revolution of sorts in the food industry with the introduction of numerous food additives, such as enzymes, based on biotechnology. However, the usage of enzymes in foods actually dates back thousands of years. The Talmud already discusses the ancient method of manufacturing cheese, which involved taking either the stomach lining of a cow or the gastric juices in the stomach and using the enzymes contained therein to take milk and transform it into cheese. Anyone who has ever seen cheese production can attest to the fact that it's one of the wonders that God has put into creation, whereby a small amount of these powerful enzymes get thrown into a big vat of milk and almost immediately begin the process of curdling the milk into cheese. The Talmud discusses the rabbinic enactment against purchasing cheese manufactured by a Nochri. One of the reasons given is that the concern exists that they will use non-kosher rennet, rennet from an animal that was not slaughtered in accordance with the laws of Shechita. Before we move further, a discussion of the relevant halachic issues is in order. In the case of cheese that we just have just mentioned, the amount of rennet used is very small in proportion to the amount of milk. In any normal cheese manufacture, the amount of rennet is definitely what's known as batel b'shishim, less than 1/60th of the amount of kosher product. There is an accepted principle in kosher law that a non-kosher ingredient used at less than the 1/60th proportion, otherwise known as batel b'shishim, which does not give off any taste, is permitted to eat. If that's the case, then why should there be any concern with using non-kosher rennet? The Talmud explains that there is a principle called Davar HaMaimed Afilu Be'elef Lo Batel. That means that something which is the catalyst to cause the food to be manufactured is not nullified even at a proportion of 1/1000th or less. In this case, the rennet is the causative factor that turns the milk into cheese and it therefore cannot be nullified. There is, however, no issue as concerns the prohibition of milk and meat together due to the small percentage used. When we discuss enzymes and biotechnology, in most cases we are discussing ingredients that are used at less than vital, less than 1/60th proportions. As we have just mentioned, foods which have proportions below the 1/60th threshold are permitted for consumption. The question is then, why do we need to be concerned about ingredients of this nature? The response is that there are three possible applicable reasons. One is the issue of Davar HaMaimed. Now, the issue of when an ingredient is considered Davar HaMaimed is a subject on which there are varying opinions among contemporary poskim, the halachic deciders, which run the gamut. There are those who would limit this definition strictly to something parallel to cheese manufacture, where the catalyst turns a liquid into a solid. They will not even necessarily apply to the reverse situation, such as where a catalyst turns a liquid into a, where it turns a solid into a liquid. Other authorities have felt that there is issue of Davar HaMaimed in almost any situation where the catalyst plays a role in the formation of the product. Virtually all authorities would, however, agree that there are situations in which the ingredient enhances the product in some way, but it would not be considered a Davar HaMaimed. Another reason is that there is an opinion of the Rashba, one of the premier authorities in the laws of Kashrus among the Rishonim, who holds that in any situation where a non-kosher ingredient is part of the formula of the product, it renders the resultant product non-kosher. According to the Rashba, the product is non-kosher even though the amount used is less than 1/60th, and the role played by the ingredient doesn't fit into the category of Davar HaMaimed. An example of this may be a clarifying enzyme used in fruit juices, which plays no role in the formulation, but just works to make the juice clearer or have less pulp, etc. It is clearly not a Davar HaMaimed. The Rashba understands that the extra stringency of Davar HaMaimed is applicable even to a situation where the non-kosher ingredient was not part of the formulation, but rather fell in or was mixed in by accident and was less than 1/60th. According to Rashba, the difference between Davar HaMaimed and playing a lesser role is if the non-kosher ingredient fits into the category of Davar HaMaimed, it will make the food non-kosher and forbidden to eat, even though its usage is accidental. If it is not in the category of Davar HaMaimed, then it will only prohibit the product if its usage was intentional. This opinion of Rashba is actually not followed in common practice, except perhaps as concerns the extra stringencies associated with kosher for Passover. However, it isn't a respected opinion to be considered. The third issue is the principle called Ein Mevatlin Isser Lechatchila. This means that one is not allowed to deliberately insert a non-kosher ingredient and then rely on the principle of nullification at less than 1/60th. It is debatable whether this principle actually applies to a manufactured product under certification, as we don't follow Rashba. However, the great posek of our generation, Rav Moshe Feinstein Zatzal, felt it is improper to grant kosher certification on this basis. The OU position has followed this approach, and the OU does not grant certification for any product that uses any non-kosher ingredient, even if it's used in less than 1/60th proportions, even if it in no way fits into the earlier discussed category of Dover HaMaimut. Let us now discuss what is an enzyme. To quote Egan Press on enzymes, an enzyme is a type of protein which is present in and essential to all living things. They have a number of functions in the living cell, but ultimately they help to convert food into energy and new material for the growth and repair of the organism in which they function. End quote. The wonder of modern food technology is that they have discovered numerous microorganisms and their enzymatic properties, and discovered ways to use these enzymatic properties to enhance a whole array of different foods. When we discuss enzymes in food production, we can break down the types of enzyme used into three basic categories: animal-derived enzymes, plant-derived enzymes, and microbial enzymes and other biotechnology products produced in a microbial process. Before we discuss the microbial enzymes and biotechnology products, let us first discuss the commonly used animal and plant enzymes. Animal-derived enzymes include rennet, which is an extract of the calf, and of course is the age-old way of making cheese. In the United States currently, it is almost unheard of to make any commercial cheeses using actual rennet, and all cheeses are manufactured using microbial enzymes. However, this age-old method of cheese manufacture is still used in a number of countries in Europe, such as Holland, Germany, and Switzerland. Other animal-derived enzymes include lipase, derived from animal tissue. There are, however, lipases produced microbially, so the name lipase does not automatically signal a non-kosher item. Pancreatin and trypsin, which are other animal enzymes, produced from pancreas of a pig, and obviously not kosher. There is currently no production of kosher animal-based enzymes, even for the enzymes that could be derived from kosher animals. Plant-derived enzymes include papain, extract from a papaya tree, bromelain, produced from pineapple, and ficin, which is produced from figs. These are often used as meat tenderizers. The interesting kosher issue of papaya has to do with the Torah's law of what is called arla, that it is forbidden to partake of fruits grown during the first 3 years of a tree's life. The papaya tree, however, only lives around 3 years, and the prevailing view followed is that a tree that has such a short lifespan is not a tree that falls into the Torah's prohibition of arla. Another interesting fact about papaya is that it grows only in the tropics and in some of the more remote parts of the world, such as the jungles of Uganda or in remote parts of India. Papain is derived from the latex extract of the papaya plant, and it may be formed into a powder or liquid for commercial use. It is a powerful enzyme, and it will generally need to be diluted with another ingredient to use at the appropriate strength. In the powder form, it is generally diluted using an ingredient such as maltodextrin, derived from corn or wheat generally, which is not a regular kosher concern, only a Pesach concern. However, it can also be diluted with lactose, which of course is dairy, which would, of course, be a concern with a product used as a meat tenderizer. In the liquid form, it is generally diluted with either sorbitol, generally derived from corn or wheat, and not a kosher concern, but again a Pesach concern, or glycerin, which can either be derived from animal or vegetable fatty acid and needs to be kosher controlled. Another type of natural enzyme commonly used is the beta-amylase enzyme, which is generally derived from soaking barley. Could be made from wheat, but it's generally barley, in water, which produces a syrup that, with some minor modifications, is the beta-amylase enzyme. For some reason, the only place in the world where this is commercially manufactured is Finland. This enzyme is used in the U.S. in the corn syrup industry to convert corn syrups into what are known as maltose or high maltose syrups. These syrups are higher in disaccharides and lower in dextrose. Now we'll need to discuss microbial enzymes and biotechnology products. As an introduction, we will just go over a brief list of some commonly produced microbial products and their applications. Corn syrup enzymes. There are three commonly used enzymes, alpha amylase enzyme, glucoamylase enzyme, and glucose isomerase enzyme. Alpha amylase enzyme is a liquefaction enzyme which turns the corn starch into a corn slurry. Glucoamylase enzyme is a saccharification enzyme which converts the corn slurry into a sweet syrup commonly referred to as glucose syrup. The glucose isomerase enzyme converts the glucose into fructose, or what is known as high fructose corn syrup. High fructose corn syrup replicates the sweetness of sugar. Due to the abundance of corn in the United States, products such as glucose and fructose are manufactured exclusively from a corn starch base. It is possible, however, using these enzymes to manufacture glucose and fructose from other starches, such as wheat or potato, and in other parts of the world, such as Europe, it is commonly done that way. As corn is much cheaper than sugar in North America, virtually the entire beverage industry uses high fructose corn syrup instead of sugar to sweeten our sodas and other drinks. The big exception to this, of course, being Pesach, where according to Ashkenazi custom of not consuming kidneys, legumes, corn derivatives are not used and sugar is used instead in drinks certified for Pesach. Another product which is produced microbially is microbial rennet. This is for cheese manufacture and is used instead of real rennet. Another product is pectinase. We alluded to this earlier, and it's a clarifier in fruit juices. Another product is glucose oxidase. This is used to desugar egg whites. What happens is liquid egg companies will take liquid egg whites and then spray dry them, which is a high heat evaporation process which turns them into a powder. Powders are cheaper to ship as they weigh less per volume and in addition have a longer shelf life. The user company, for different quality control reasons, wants the product to stay white and not brown during the spray drying process. By using the glucose oxidase enzyme, they can remove the sugar from the egg whites, which will keep the egg whites from browning. Another product is citric acid. This is a very commonly used ingredient. It is used as a flavoring or preservative as well as to control pH. Another example is monosodium glutamate. This is used as a flavor enhancer. Another product is aspartame. This is the well-known sugar substitute used in diet sodas. Another example is ascorbic acid. This is commonly known as vitamin C and can be produced microbially. Another product is yeast. The old-fashioned yeast, of course, came from rotting bread, but this is nowadays commonly manufactured using a microbial process. The fact that it's manufactured this way nowadays allows for something that would have once been unthinkable, and that is kosher LePesach yeast. One last example is xanthan gum. This is a common thickener used in the salad dressing, non-dairy creamer industry, among others. It actually has an interesting history, as it was developed from a microorganism called Xanthomus campestris, which comes from rotting cabbage, and was developed by the U.S. Department of Agriculture to help corn farmers by raising the price of corn through finding additional uses for corn. We will understand better the role corn derivatives play in microbial and biotechnology manufacturing as we cover the manufacturing process. This concludes part one of this Kashrus Tidbits on enzymes and biotechnology. In our next session, we will cover the manufacturing process of microbial and biotechnology products and the associated halachic issues. Thank you for tuning in to this session of Kashrus Tidbits.